For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Boas. From March through July of 1862, the Peninsula Campaign of the U.S. Civil War took place in southeastern Virginia. As we heard in a previous segment of our Civil War series, it was a large-scale offensive that helped to clear the way for some important command changes. Dan Modlin has more.
The Peninsula Campaign may well be known best as the fighting that allowed Robert E. Lee to emerge as a leader. Dr. Jack Thacker is a military historian from Western Kentucky University.
He takes command on June the 2nd. First thing he does is spend most of his time reinforcing the entrenchments around Richmond in order that he can mobilize the largest portion of his forces to attack McClellan. And the newspapers in Richmond feel that Lee is not aggressive enough. They still remember the West Virginia campaign, and they dub him the King of Spades.
McClellan, of course, was Union General George McClellan, whose goal was supposed to be to capture the Confederate capital of Richmond, Virginia.
Lee had already explained to Jefferson Davis that what he was going to do was to strengthen the defenses so that he could pull as many men out so as to attack, to concentrate his forces against McClellan. Now, Lee has an advantage. He has sent General Jeb Stuart out, who commands his cavalry, to reconnoiter McClellan's forces. And Stuart had gone out, captured a tremendous behind the Union lines, and had, as a result of being the Union finally responding to him, been forced to ride all the way around McClellan's army. In the process, he discovered that McClellan's flank was in the air. In other words, it was not protected. And so Lee sees his opportunity here. And so what Lee decides to do is to bring everything he's got against McClellan and attack his forces as quick as possible. He orders Stonewall Jackson back from the valley, and Jackson, he was still over near the valley, has to march 120 miles, which is not a long way considering what he had done in the valley. And so Jackson comes up from the valley. He's to attack Fitz John Porter's corps on the flank by June the 26th. And this begins what we call the 7 days battle.
Dr. Glenn LaFantasy of the WKU Institute for Civil War Studies says Lee also benefited from the fact that General McClellan was taking his time.
Lee tells Davis, and he also tells his subordinate commanders, we cannot lose Richmond. That's just a flat-out statement that we will not lose Richmond. But what's also happening is that McClellan is dawdling. He actually has an advantage here that he can't see at all clearly. And the advantage was, well, you've got a change of command in the Confederate Army. But even if he doesn't know that, the Confederates aren't really doing anything except building entrenchments, preparing for a siege or the possibility of a siege. So McClellan's thinking that this all falls into his plan. But nevertheless, several weeks go by since the Battle of Fair Oaks, when Joseph E. Johnston is wounded and Lee takes command of this new Army of Northern Virginia. And this Peninsula campaign is drawn out and prolonged by both armies really just sitting there until the time comes for Lee to strike.
Dr. Thacker says Union forces weren't expecting what they were about to encounter.
When Lee strikes, he throws his army into the Union forces, shocking McClellan. What happened on the 26th at Mechanicsville, it could have been successful. He could have destroyed at least destroyed Porter's corps. But Stonewall Jackson was inexplicably late. And although the Union win, I mean, they stop the attack, Lee loses quite a number of men, far more than the Union lose, McClellan retreats.
Dr. LaFantasy says he can empathize with General McClellan's decision not to go forward with the battle at that point.
The attacks by the Confederates at Gaines Mill, this is the point of sympathy I have with McClellan, particularly Texans and Alabamians. Take a hill near Gaines Mill in such a ferocious fight that I think it scared the willies out of McClellan. It would scare the willies out of me. It has, just reading the accounts of these Texans and Alabamians. This is one of their huge moments in the war that forever after they'll be held in glory for what they did at Gaines Mill. And it is spectacular. I mean, these guys were not about to let these Yankees hold this particular hill. So it's fierce fighting. And I suppose if I were McClellan, I'd say, well, you know, I may be still holding the ground, but I better get out of here. But as Jack mentioned, it has a larger impact than that. McClellan virtually calls off the siege at that point, which is a total mistake to make at this point in what is becoming, what is unfolding here as the 7 days battles.
Dr. Thacker says time and again in the Peninsular Campaign, Lee's troops attacked only to be repulsed, but they succeeded in keeping McClellan from taking Richmond.
It's a tremendous success for Lee. The downside of it is Lee has lost 21,000 soldiers, 1/4 of his entire army.
Victories in the Civil War come at a very, very high cost on both sides. And this is going to become a telling feature of battles in the future in the Eastern Theater and in the Western Theater, of the side that wins also in some cases, in a lot of cases, becomes the side that loses the most men and resources.
7 days battle ended up costing more men than all of the West in 1862. Richmond was filled with wounded soldiers.
Dr. LaFantasy says leadership in Washington was clearly unhappy with the results of the Peninsular Campaign.
Lincoln is extremely disappointed in the outcome of this campaign, to say the least, and decides to pay a little visit to George McClellan. So Lincoln arrives at Harrison's Landing on July 8th, and the ignominious ending to this campaign is that McClellan then hands a letter that he's written on July 7th to the president, but he can now deliver it in person, spelling out not only the military, what the military future should be for the United States, but also its political future, in which McClellan states that in no way should the army, the military, be interfering with Southern property, meaning slaves. What McClellan can't know and doesn't know is that his timing could not have been worse, because just a few days earlier than this, Lincoln had made the decision to issue an Emancipation Proclamation. Now, he had to wait until after Antietam to actually issue that preliminary document, but he had made up his mind already. And here's his general trying to give Lincoln political pointers in how to handle the slavery issue when Lincoln's already decided the exact opposite course to take. And no wonder that McClellan's stock began to fall rapidly at that point.
This is the latest in our series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.